welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much to all of you, our Door of Life family, who've been praying for us as Lindsay did give birth September 2nd to Owen Joseph Perez, and we were just so excited about that, and actually just came back yesterday from Tulsa. Yeah, so it was great. It's been enjoying the joy of grandparenthood, and then, of course, some of the jabbing that goes along with that. Somebody told me I had to budget a little extra time on my way back because I'd be driving about 10 miles an hour slower and be taking a few more rest stops along the way. But it's been a real fun, yes, being an official grandpa, you know. But praise God. So thank you for your prayers and support and just your words of blessing over Lindsay and Isaac and their new son, Owen. So I appreciate that. Well, this is a little unusual because, this morning, just during praise and worship, the Lord just dropped a message in my heart. So we can turn that one off. And, I'm going to go back to the old-fashioned reading out of the Bible. But it was one of those things, you know, just as I were coming up here and kind of getting a word and different things like that, it's just like it's in my spirit and just lingering there. So guys, I'll figure out the title here in a little bit as we get delving into it. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of go and just kind of do the next thing that I got in my heart to do, the scripture, and how it's going to flow out here. So we'll kind of go on this journey together. But the scripture that's just clear in my spirit right now is in Ephesians chapter 3. And it's, you know, as Jody was just kind of singing and revving a little bit, revelation, just kind of on the love of God, the love of Jesus, just some things just started to kind of go off in my spirit. And it's in Ephesians 3:14. It says this: "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Wow, that's quite a statement. There's a connection there, I guess, between really knowing the love of God, comprehending those dimensions of God's love, and being filled with the fullness of God. You know, as I look at this, I just kind of think of the thoughts, just the outstanding thoughts connected to what I've just got in my heart this morning. It's just connected to, discovering the God kind of love or something along those lines. There's something, you know, what I love about the way the scripture describes the love of God, it kind of has the dimensions of width and length and depth and height, you know, natural dimensions that we understand in terms of concrete measurement and things like that. But there's just some dimensions of God's love. Maybe it's dimensions of God's love, I don't know. Like, you guys can figure out the title as you want to, but I'm just going to kind of go with what I've got in my heart here. There are just some certain aspects that just kind of jumped out in my spirit this morning as we were just worshiping God. And these are just some things that I've been kind of stirred up, you know, about God's love before and have thought about, but just really feel like there's just kind of a something coming together. And when we think about the God kind of love, and we really want to know it, we really want to recognize it, we want to be able to say, as we're plumbing the depths and heights and width and breadth of God's love, I guess the thing that stands out about this kind of love, as you're looking for it, is the fact that it is unusual. It's different. It's different than the way we naturally think. And the scripture, this is one of the first scriptures I ever remember in my entire life reading from my blue denim Bible. I've shared this before. But really the first scripture that really stood out in me is probably a 9-year-old kid reading my Good News version that I got in the Lutheran church in third grade. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5:43. He said, "You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you." Do good. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. There's something unusual about this kind of love. It's not the love that is like, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. This is a love that'll scratch your back, that I will scratch your back whether you scratch mine or not. That's very different. There's no political games to this. There's no politics of compassion. It's not about me or any, it's about me loving you. It's an outward love. Somebody described this back in the 80s, you know, in a message. And it was one of those things that was kind of, I guess it's kind of gross, the natural mind to think of it, but it was a preacher who did it. He did it in a message, so I get, and he's, you know, so but the way the scripture refers to it, I don't have the scriptures, but it talks about our bowels of compassion being turned outward. Bowels of compassion. You think about that. Love is one way. It's out. It's for you. Love is that direction. In other words, Jesus said, you heard it said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. I say, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Think about that, though. Somebody's cursing you. They're setting their clock early, 5 o'clock in the morning, to speak death over your life. They hate you that bad. And you set your clock at 4 to bless them. Jesus is trying to get something across here. This is unusual. This isn't normal. And there's a lot of Christian psychobabble that tries to balance this out. We need faith. These are the words of Christ. There is power, there's freedom in these words. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth of my word will make you free. There's a whole different plane of operation going on here. This isn't about tit for tat. This is about something supernatural. What are we talking about? Discovering the height and the depth and the width and the breadth. You're going to discover it in the words of Christ. You could be on a merry-go-round of things. You know, we can be on merry-go-rounds of bitterness and hatred over people who curse us and do evil. And Jesus is saying, love and bless and do good. That takes faith to do that. But there's revelation. There are things that we see when we love like he loves. But that's exactly how he loved us. While we were sinners, he loved us. And while people are being sinful toward us, while they're being sinful toward us, we love them. He demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners. And there are things that if we're going to get breakthroughs in our life, there are going to be some demonstrations. Love. Love. Love is a thing that's going to cause some of these amazing breakthroughs. I'm going to love. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm not looking for a crowd. I'm just going to love. I'm going to love and I'm going to do good. Here I go, Lord. Praise God. This kind of love is unusual. There's nothing in the world like it. I know the evangelist that I came through to receive Christ was Nicky Cruz. And his backstory, when he was in the streets of New York, a gang leader of the Mamas, and a skinny little preacher named David Wilkerson came to the streets of New York, came right on his turf. And as you read the story, Nicky spit in his face and said to David Wilkerson, little preacher, I could cut you up into 1,000 pieces. And David Wilkerson said, yes, Nicky, and every piece would be saying, God loves you and I love you. That's unusual love. That's unusual love. And that kind of love struck the heart of a hardened gang member and led him to Christ and ultimately led me to Christ. It's unusual love. It's not normal. It's not political. There's no, yeah, but you're not looking for reconciliation on this side. Do you know there's a lot of things that are going to happen at the throne of grace after we're out of this world that are going to reconcile a lot of things, injustices and stuff like that? I mean, it's not, your justice ultimately isn't here. I mean, the ultimate justice and everything equity being made out, there's two judgments. The great white throne judgment for the unbeliever. You know, that's a judgment of righteousness. But then there's a great, then there's the judgment seat of Christ. That's where you're rewarded according to deeds done in the body. You don't get everything here. There's stuff you're going to be getting there. There's stuff you've stored up there that God is purposely waiting to give you when you get there. And so you're not trying to think of justice in terms of the vapor of life down here. The scope is so big. And so I'm loving. I'm loving with eternity in mind. I'm not trying to get, you know, the scripture where Jesus, in the Proverbs, it says, he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord and the Lord will repay. That's really powerful when you think about the heart of God. You're going to give something to somebody and you know they can't pay you back. There's no way they could pay you back. Not a chance. And you're going to give it to them anyway. The Lord steps in and says, okay, I'm the borrower here. I'm going to repay. God Almighty says, I'm the borrower, you're the lender, and I'm going to pay you back. That's the heart and the compassion of God. That's unusual. Turn the other cheek. That's unusual. If somebody compels you to go a mile, go 2 miles. Unusual love. You're not. It's not about the here and now and getting your dues. It's about communicating something that's eternal. It's just off the charts. Another scripture I just kind of think of in terms of this unusual love, Romans 12, 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. It's not that wrath doesn't exist. It doesn't. It's not that you don't have the feelings of wrath. It's not saying if you were really spiritual, you wouldn't be mad at all. No, that's nothing to do with that. You're really going to be mad. You're going to really feel those things. But you're going to give place to wrath. Yeah, but if it was me, I would. It's not you. I'm not looking at what you would do. I'm looking at what God did for me when I figure out what I'm going to do with this thing, this wrath. I mean, there's nothing wrong. You know, when you hit your thumb with a hammer, you know, trying to do a nail or something like that, it hurts. There's nothing wrong about experiencing the pain, all right? It's what you say and do after you experience the pain. You know, it's what the Bible says, be angry and sin not. There's nothing wrong with experiencing the pain of somebody backbiting you or talking. There's nothing wrong with experiencing that. Doesn't mean you're not spiritual. You're going to. Be angry, but sin not. Give place to wrath. We all have that common feeling of wrath and hurt and pain when something happens. But this unusual love, the thing that'll cause you to be filled with all the fullness of God, there's some boundaries to it that will cause you, as we begin to expand our boundaries, begin to realize, I'm going to give place to wrath. It's almost like it's pushing out the width and the length of the love of God. The more I can give place to wrath, it's like the fullness of God is having more place in my life. This takes faith. This world will feel sorry for you. This world and the spirit of this world is fighting for you to not walk in this kind of love. God is this kind of love. And God is here, and God is love, and God gives you ability when you begin to walk in this love by faith. And I'm not doing it with a chip on my shoulder. I'm not doing it with a victim complex. I'm saying, God, you have loved me. You've given me everything, and I just love even as. I forgive even as. But here he's saying, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. How can you stop yourself from being mad? He goes on to give some advice. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Evil must be overcomable. We must not be hapless, helpless victims of just evil. There must be something that can overcome evil. It is overcomable with good. You can overcome. You'll notice the language he says. He said, for in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. What is he talking about? He's talking about conscience. It's very difficult when you're mean to somebody and they respond not in kind, but they respond with blessing and understanding and goodness. And it's hard. It's hard. You make it hard for them to hate you when you're really genuinely, proactively nice. And that's what the scripture calls overcoming evil with good. This love, it's unusual. It is unusual. It's different. It gets mocked, turning the other cheek. How many times have we heard the concept of turning the other cheek getting mocked? I mean, it's mocked regularly in all the medias and things like that. You're weak, you're wimpy, it's a joke. It's not a joke. There's power in that kind of love. Remember the scripture? You know, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord and the Lord will repay. What is that a picture of? It's a picture of God stepping in between you and that poor person and taking up for him. When you decide to turn the other cheek and you decide to love and to bless and to do what God has called you to do, it can look like your inevitable doom. God's going to step in and take up for you when you walk in love. He's going to step in and take up for you when you do the right thing. There's a love of God expanding in our revelation and our understanding. It's a love that it's unusual. It's strange to look at. Strange and unusual. Jesus being crucified on the cross in the midst of the ultimate degradation, physical, emotional. Well, if you really were wagging their heads, wagging their fingers, if you were the Son of God, come down from the cross. And what does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That kind of just unusual love. That's the kind of love, that's what God's kind of love is. It's unusual. It goes against the grain of our natural thinking. It goes against the grain of a lot of stuff. But you'll notice that the answer, the antidote, is in the loving. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. It's as though blessing was the antidote to their curse. It's so the doing good was the antidote to their hate. It's as though the praying was the antidote to the spitefully using, and instead of trying to find where they're spitefully using, you're just praying. It's unusual, isn't it? This is totally a God thing. And it's like we get a few moments down here to really believe it. Are we going to believe it, or are we just going to kind of compartmentalize it away, or are we going to aggressively, actively walk in the love of God? Aggressively, actively bless and pray and do good. Man, this is where you begin to probe the dimensions of God's love. It's unusual. That's kind of the first thing I got. The second thing I just saw in my heart, too, is in... This is a very familiar passage of scripture. I know in 1 Corinthians 13. And I would say this is kind of the, I don't want to, I don't want to scare you off and call it the algebra of God's love, but I'll say the equations of God's love, just the math of God's love. As I was looking at and thinking about these three scriptures, these three scriptures, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3, the way they're written, you could almost rewrite them in the form of equations. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So you could rewrite it mathematically like this. Tongues of men plus tongues of angels minus love equals clanging cymbal. Verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. The gift of prophecy plus understanding all mysteries plus understanding all knowledge, plus mountain-moving faith, minus love equals zero. These are some powerful equations of God's love. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Giving all you have plus martyrdom minus love equals nothing. Stuff can't be done to be seen of men. And God knows. God knows. Again, it's kind of like the math. And so as you kind of think of some of these equations, you know, if you were to define, like, if you know, X equals love, you know, it said A plus B plus C in verse 13, minus X equals, you know, zero or whatever it is. The cool thing about it is this element, this variable in all three of these things called love. The scripture doesn't stop at verse 3. You know, in algebra, a lot of times when you've got the X, the variable, you have to solve for the variable. If you kind of go back all those years and you have to say X equals, you have to give the big definition of your work and how you got there. Well, the scripture gives us what X equals in verses 3 through 8, or verses 4 through 8. In verses 1 through 3, it's kind of this high-level concept of love. Though I da-da-da-da-da, but without love, it's nothing. High level. And then it gets really graphic. It shows you what X equals. In other words, when we're saying you can have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, but if you don't have this, you're nothing. Well, what is love? We don't have the luxury of defining what we think he means by that. He graphically tells us exactly what he means by that. And here's what X equals. Verse 4, love, X, suffers long and is kind. This is kind of goes hand in hand with the unusual. It suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. Oh, it's so secure. In its intimate fellowship with God, there's nothing to be envied. You've got everything in him. It does not parade itself. So secure by that inseparable love that God has, that it's already satisfied, doesn't need the approval of men, already satisfied, already full, is not puffed up, intimately knows where everything comes from. It is grace, 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 nothing else. Don't even. It is grace from beginning to end. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. There's power in this. Does not behave rudely. Again, it's not that it doesn't feel wrath. It just gives place to wrath and doesn't act out. Again, important to understand this. We're human beings. We experience this stuff. We experience anger. But we don't give place. We give place to wrath. We have room for it to fuse, fizzle out. No, I'm not going to act on it. I'm not going to behave really. So people who do this, you know, you don't behave rudely. Again, it's not that you don't have thoughts or feelings, but you're not going to act on them. You don't seek your own. This is really an amazing thing, too. And there's another, the scripture running through my head. You know, seek not only your own things, but look out for the others. This is really an amazing thing about love, too. You've got something, and somebody's talking to you, and you can empathetically get outside your life and put yourself in their shoes, and just with empathy and compassion, be excited with them what God is doing, and think in terms of what's best for them. That's love. That's unusual. I mean, we can kind of do that at a distance, but you can, I'm going to love like that. This is talking about kind of the dimensions of God's love. There's a math to his love. This is the kind of stuff that you need, the broader context of tongues of men and tongues of angels and prophecy and gifts of, you know, of mountain-moving faith and all that kind of stuff. He's saying this. This is the kind of stuff that's going to cause you to really be filled with the fullness of God, make you like God, thinks no evil. I'll tell you what, God, by the Holy Spirit, has brought that to my attention, and it has been so freeing. Because, you know, when you get in a dark place mentally, you've got your 53 reasons why you're there and why you're holding on to things and not letting go. And I've had the scripture, just this Holy Spirit prompt me say, love thinks no evil. And it's just like checkmate. Wow. Yeah. Can't justify it. Love doesn't think evil. So love isn't kind of doing this 3% of the time with, no, love thinks no evil. Love just doesn't engage in it. It's like permission to disengage. Love doesn't do this. Praise God. And I want to be filled with the fullness of God. It's like as you get filled with the fullness of God, you're letting stuff go. So you got more spaces for the love to come in. But there's things that the scripture is telling us. This is how that love looks. It's not provoked. Is not provoked. This is something that I, with our kids, I don't know. There's a word that's out that's, I don't know how long it's been out or whatever. I'm just a grandpa. I don't know. I'm just kind of finding stuff out. But my kids, a word my kids use is trolling, all right? Trolling. It means you're just kind of, you know, you're kind of leading somebody on a little bit. You're kind of getting under their skin a little bit. But it's really, it's kind of a form of, you know, you're kind of provoking. It's really kind of what it is. You're trolling. You're provoking. And the thing of it is, it doesn't say that love doesn't troll or doesn't provoke. It says love is not provoked. I mean, it means as somebody's trying to get under your skin, love, it's very hard to do that for somebody who's walking in love. It's hard to get under, it's hard to provoke them. Because that's really what the enemy tries to do, to get you off your game, to get you off focus. He wants to provoke you. He wants to provoke you off. He will use people, he'll use situations, he'll do things. You're in the zone, living for God, praise God. You're seeing things, and then things are happening. And oh, that's my big issue. No, it's trying to provoke you off your game. But love isn't provoked. That means love stays on message and just keeps having eyes to see and ears to hear what God wants to do. You could be perceived as weak. You could be perceived as not, you know, fighting back or something, but there is power in God, that God kind of love. You stay on message. Why? Because I'm not down here to fight with you and you and you. I'm down here to do the will of him who sent me. I'm down here to say what I hear him saying, to do what I see him do. I'm down here with his spirit living on the inside, leading and guiding me into all truth. I am down here as, and he is my Lord, and I am his servant. If he wants me to engage something, I'll engage because he wants me to. And that's the only reason. You know, that would be the only reason. If he wants me to talk, to deal with something. But I am ultimately following and doing what he wants me to do. Saying what he wants me to say. I'm orientated by that. And I'm not going to let offense cause me to change masters and all of a sudden react to something to somebody else said. No, I'm going to love like he loved. I'm going to give place to wrath. There's a math to this kind of love. And he goes on to say, it doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. Is not provoked. It thinks no evil. Okay, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. That's a big one. Does not rejoice in iniquity. In other words, when something bad happens, Let's say something bad happens to somebody who was cursing and doing bad to you. Can you resist the temptation to rejoice? Can you really empathize and say no and pray and to feel pain and hurt for a person who's attacking you and they were wrong, but to still have empathy toward their pain? That's the God kind of love. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. There's no vindictiveness in God's love. It's not a vindictive hatred kind of a thing. It really feels. There's no rejoicing. I told you so. I told you. I knew that was happening. You know, there's some people, even in Christendom, that can use their tongue in a way that is negative. And when something bad happens, almost be proud they prophesied it. No. We let no corrupt word proceed out of our mouth, but that which is good for the use of edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Lord, let it never be said of me, I told you so. Let it be said of me, I spoke blessing. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. When you get revelation, you see truth, this is where there's rejoicing of the heart, the truth of God's word, the truth that makes free. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. And think about that, bears all things. Again, that's a word that we kind of use, but we got to understand in that word bear, emotionally we're suffering. If you're bearing something, you're feeling the pressure of it. You know, if you're carrying something, you're bearing a load on your back, you're feeling the pressure of that. Sometimes you're going to be emotionally bearing some things, and love will bear some things. It will bear. I don't have to stop and go, oh my goodness, this is uncomfortable, this isn't fair, this isn't right, vindictive. No. Love is going to bear some things, and you're going to go to prayer. And you're going to say, Father, give me the grace and strength to bear this. It's going to draw me close to God for His grace to help in time of need. I'm having to bear some things. Lord, give me grace to help in time of need that I may bear it. Praise God. That's okay. It's okay to feel things and not be vindictive, and go to God in prayer and say, thank you, Lord, for that grace. Bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never fails. Hoping all things. To refuse to give up hope. Praise God. Believing all things, believing the best, seeing people turn around, enduring all things. These are all the dynamic actions that give tongues of men and of angels value when it's backed by this. When prophecy and knowledge of mysteries and faith that moves mountains is motivated by love, that's what gives faith and knowledge of mysteries and prophecy import and impact. Giving, when you're giving in a way to bring glory to God and feed hungry bellies and to, you know, and to take care of people and laying down your life for a friend because you love. When all this is with it, it's really powerful to God. We can kind of see it by faith here, but when we act this way, this is what causes us to begin to probe the depths and heights, width and length of God. And I think one of the other profound thing that I just say about this love, and this is in Romans 5. Kind of a last but not least, and this is really important. Romans 5:5, it says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And 2 Timothy 1:7 puts it this way, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So Romans 5:5 says the love of God has been poured out abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Our human spirit has been saturated with the love of God. We've received a spirit of love. Praise God. And I think as we're talking about this kind of love and as we're on our journey, on our journeys of faith, and, you know, man, what an interesting, you know, there's a lot of interesting, you know, movies out. I think the Lord of the Rings and these action things and adventure movies, and you got people and characters and they've got certain powers and abilities and things like that. And you think about what God has given us for this journey. He's equipped us with this love, this powerful love that works through blessing those who curse you, doing good to those who hate you, repaying no one evil for evil. That's how you unleash the power. You don't see that in a lot of adventure movies. It's beating people up and shooting people down and blood and guts, and last man standing wins. This is an epic that even transcends this life, that isn't even played out until you get to the throne of grace. And that's why we want the glory here and now on this side. But to live in a way, to see the judgment seat of Christ, and how you're going to be rewarded according to deeds done in the body. So the Bible says some works will go before men, and some works will follow after men. You know, there's some things that people are going to know ahead of time. There's things that you're going to find out after the fact when you get there. But you're living in this epic battle of good and evil, and you've been equipped with the weapons of your warfare that are powerful through God. The power of blessing, the power of praying, the power of doing good, the power of repaying no one evil for evil, but overcoming evil with good. And there's nobody that's getting killed in the process. And these weapons look very wimpy to the natural man, but they are absolutely powerful. And you can see this, like we a lot of times at Door of Life, we celebrate the good things God's done in us. We've made us new creations in Christ. He's given us the Holy Spirit. But he has given us, and I would say that's thinking about this love. It's unusual. There is a math to it. But the other thing about this love, it can be given. It can be given. God gave us this love. Wow. He gave me that supernatural love. He put it inside me. I think it's Corrie Ten Boom who said, the love that God demands from you, he put inside you. That's really a good way to look at it. Because I can't do this in terms of a spiritual exercise. You know, you can read through that and get overwhelmed. Thank God he's put inside me the love that he demands of me. He's given me the love to love with. In other words, it's not the personality of Ed House that's going to suffer long and be kind. The personality of Ed House, I know how long the personality of Ed House can suffer long and stay kind. You know how long yours can. All right? How long can you go without being provoked? How long can you? These are not done in the strength of your personality or the bloodline, you know? So we can't go the other way, too. We can't make excuses, right? Well, I've got that, the Irish blood or whatever it is. I don't know. I have some of those popular, so I can't help it. Well, we've been given something on the inside of us to be able to help it. We've been given that love that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So this is not a big exercise of to-dos. But rather, it's, God, you've given me this love. I could love supernaturally. You know, God could even, you know, have you ever had God, you know, sometimes people say, God spoke to me. God said things. I know what they mean by that. Jesus said my sheep would know my voice. God speaks to me too. What do we mean by that? Is it audible voices? No. We're not hearing things. We're not seeing things. It is something that happens like this. Because we've been told clearly, this, as many as are led by the Spirit, here's another equation. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Two equal parts. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, you are supposed to know his voice and be led by his Spirit. That's the plan of God in the earth. We are not down here helpless. God designed for us to follow where his Spirit will lead us. What happens? How does that look in real life? As God shows me something, there is an impression of thought that comes across my mind that is a vivid, clear, a thought that I know I didn't think up in my known natural Ed House thinking. I know my Ed House reasonings. And all of a sudden a thought comes across and I know I didn't think that up. And that's the power of having the Holy Spirit in you too. Because the Holy Spirit in you is there to bear witness that you know you didn't think that thought up. I showed you that. You know, it's like if you were to say, anybody who has the Holy Spirit in them, you know, people discuss Jesus and God and heaven and hell and all those different things. Like they kind of talk about it in abstracts when you're not really, you don't really know God. And it's amazing how they can just talk about that kind of stuff. But when you're really born again and you have the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit is absolutely in you and he bears witness to truth. We would do this exercise with our kids. We'd say, Daddy loves you. We would say, is this true or is this not true? Say, Daddy loves you. True. Mommy loves you. True. Grandpa loves you. Thank you, Scott. Grandpappy loves you. True, yeah. But when you say something like, Daddy doesn't really like you, you go, no. There's something, it's not just that, there's something in them that knew it was wrong. If I was to say, Jesus loves you. If I was to say, there's actually 13 Jesuses. There's something in you that would go, ugh. Or Jesus isn't really necessary. There'd be something that'd be going, hmm. That's not just thinking. That's the Spirit on the inside of you saying, that does not bear witness to truth. It's not true. It's not true. God will speak things to your mind that are true. Here's the point. That love's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. You have situations, you have people in your life, and you can think, I've had this situation, and I know you have your situations, I have my situations, and you think, there is no way I could love this person. And the answer is yes, you're exactly right. There is no way you can. That's the first place of surrender. Because if you're probing your own ability to not be provoked and things, it's shorter than what the love of God's is. But that's why God gave us those things to do to almost, now I don't want to say he was trolling us, but he's kind of saying, love, bless, do good, feed, drink. You're responding proactively in the opposite side. It gets you out of your game. It forces you to love them. It forces you to get on their side. Isn't that a strange way to think of it? I'm trying to get through this thing, and God is saying, love them. Pray for them. Bless them. Do good. Yeah, but I don't agree with them. I'm not telling you to agree with them. I'm just telling you to love them like I love you. Just love them like I love you. It's easy for me, and I can readily see that my sins are paid for on this cross. But also, every hurtful and painful thing that was ever done to me was paid for on this cross too. That's why I forgive, even as. The grace works in both directions. And so I'm just learning how to flow in both those directions too, to get free from the junk. So there is a supernatural element of God's love, height, depth, width, length. And as we're probing these things, we're going to see some things. It's unusual. It's the kind of love that's mocked and made fun of. That's the real one. The one that you're supposed to stay with, that's the real. Don't walk all, I'm afraid of getting walked over. I don't want to be taken advantage of. Well, if you're in a dangerous situation, yes, get out of a dangerous situation and protect yourself in a physical sense. If you're thinking about marriage and in a bad marriage relationship and things like that, and yeah, absolutely, there's no problem with protecting yourself. But morally and hearts and compassion, you still have compassion. You still pray for. Bless those who curse you. Think about the language, curse. Does somebody fit this description? Are they cursing you? Do they hate you? Are they persecuting you, spitefully using you? Those are the ones that we're going to love and pray for and not compromise. What am I going to do? I'm not going to turn the other cheek. He's going to hit the other one too. It's not about whether they hit the other cheek or not. Lord, I'm going to love like you loved, and my trust is in you. My trust is in you. You want to see the big church that's going to rise up in the last days and be powerful in it? It's going to be the church that walks in that kind of love. Because without that kind of love, the faith, the mountain-moving faith, the prophecies, it means nothing. It's hollow, it's empty. A lot of times we're very big in the true relationship versus dead religion. Do you know how God sees the difference between the two? He doesn't see it in the style of music. He looks at the one who's walking in love. That's the difference between dead religion and a real relationship. Who's doing 4 through 8? Who's suffering long and being kind? Not envying, That's how he determines. That's where the fullness of God will begin to come in too. Praise God. Praise God for great music and growing and flowing. But ultimately, the litmus test is love. Love. That's where the fullness of God. You know what he goes on to say? I'm going to go back to my opening verse, and then I'll end here. Because it's kind of a good connection, I think. Just as I'm kind of looking at it again, Ephesians 3, and he just says, that you may be able to comprehend the saints, the width, the length, the depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now what does he go on to say? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all generations forever and ever. Amen. You see this exclamation point of power that's backed by love and humility. And where we're skittish of love and being too balanced, and I don't want to walk, I don't want to get short circuits, the power in our life. Now, this isn't going to be a crowd thing. You're going to have to go over the crowd, and you're going to go, this is something that's going to be very individual. And as you individually do this, you're going to spark some revivals. You're going to see some people see some freedoms in your own life. As you bring glory to God in his faithfulness and his mercy to take up for you, to get in between you and the situation. It's a personal call to love. Personal call to probe those boundaries of God's love, and then the power will be there. The power that works in you, the power of tongues of men and of angels, the power of prophecy, the power of mountain-moving faith. It's all connected to suffering along and being kind and not being proud and not being easily provoked, and it's a connection. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for your love, for your grace. We thank you that your love is, you are love. Father, help us to see that there is such a powerful connection between the exceeding greatness of your power that works in us who believe, through which you can do all things beyond what we can ask or think. But it's connected. It is vitally connected to this unusual love. This unusual love that's mocked, ridiculed, scoffed, probably as much in the church as in the world. But Father, help us. Almost like that Martin Luther moment where he just went back and said, the just will live by faith. And there was a reformation of faith. Help us to go back with those simple childlike eyes and say, wow, love never fails. Simplicity, to trust love, to just trust it. Just like that simple, the just shall live by faith alone. Oh God, your love is sufficient. Love to turn the other cheek, to bless, to do good. Father, help us to see it, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, that there's power in our lives that's short-circuited sometimes by self-justified non-love. Father, we don't want to justify anything. We just want to turn loose of stuff we're holding on to and trying to spiritually justify and just say, oh, love of God, help us to not make ourselves the exception to these beautiful scriptures, but to see ourselves repaying no one evil for evil, but as much as is possible to live peaceably with all men, to not be overcome by evil, torn up with bitterness and hatred, but to overcome evil with good and kindness, knowing that you see what we're doing. Even if the offender mocks what we're doing, you know our hearts. Praise God. Lord, we just want to obey you. We want to love like you love. We want to know the depth and the height and the width and the breadth, length, Father. Thank you for your love. I just pray that revelation too, just whatever that what you dropped in my heart this morning, I just pray that would just work in people's hearts this morning. That they would see in their own lives, their own personal lives, what this means and how it translates to their situations. But there is a powerful freedom here. Praise God. The freedom that comes from doing good and loving and blessing. Ah, it just makes our flesh recoil. But it's amazing how the love of God inside of us that's been shed abroad in our hearts will forgive things that our flesh would never approve of. But thank you, Lord, the love of God is in us, a spirit of love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Father, help us to draw on this love and to love with the love you gave us and be free from our own personality limitations. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.